We're continuing to study in the book of Jonah, and our scripture today is Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 5a, the first part of verse 5. This is God's holy word. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it the proclamation which I am going to tell you." So Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly large city, 3 days' walk. Then Jonah began to go through the city, 1 day's walk, and he cried out and said, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown." Then the people of Nineveh believed in God. May God take this word and by His Holy Spirit transform it in our lives into service for Himself. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that You prepare our hearts now to receive Your word and to live by it. We cannot do this in our own strength. Our propensity, Lord, is to hear something and then forget it. But we pray that this might stick with us today, and that we might then be able also to have that word that we need to share when the time comes. In Jesus' name, amen. So the fish deposited Jonah on the dry ground, and Jonah gave thanks for God's mercy. Now, no doubt there was a period of recovery for Jonah. I don't think he could have endured all that he did in the fish and then just jumped right out and said, "I'm raring to go." He no doubt would have had a little bit of time to recover. But then the Lord's call for a message, or a messenger, let us say, to go to Nineveh came a second time. And that we could also call it, it came as a second chance for a rebellious and slow to understand Jonah. What we know for sure is that Jonah did finally obey God, but evidently not with a perfect heart. That is, there's still some things about going to Nineveh that Jonah didn't like very much. So our points today are these. First of all, the mercy of the Lord is all over this second call to Jonah. Just full of God's mercy. Secondly, the greatness of Nineveh necessitated a great proclamation. And God did certainly give him a wonderful proclamation to make to these people who are on the verge of being destroyed. Thirdly, great mercy requires a great effort to make it work. And finally, the result that God seeks is faith. Faith in His Word, not just improved morality. So those are the points we'll consider today. First of all, the mercy of the Lord is all over this second call to Jonah. Understand this, that God will never be prevented from carrying out His eternal purpose. God is not fickle. God is not prone to changing His mind and saying, "Well, I thought this, or maybe we'll do this instead." But rather, God says, "Here is my purpose. My purpose is to save people." Even the Lord Jesus said, "The Son of God did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Now, this is the foremost part of God's great purpose. And God will never be prevented from carrying out His merciful response to the needs of the world. Now, understand also that God's purpose can go both ways. That is, God's purpose may be to judge the wicked. There are people who will perish because they have rebelled against God. They will not obey His word. They don't want to hear what it says. When the word comes to them, they are like water off a duck's back in terms of their response to it. Some of God's purpose is for judgment. But, as I've just pointed out to you, a great part of that purpose is the salvation of sinners. Now let's look first at Jonah. Jonah was a man who had offended God. How can you shake your fist at God and say, I'm not going? You try to stop me. I'm getting on a ship. I'm leaving this part of the world. You'll not see me here anymore. How then could Jonah expect mercy from God with an attitude like that? But you have many Jonah types in the Word of God. For example, the Apostle Paul, who was very rebellious against the gospel, who persecuted the church and actually oversaw the killing of those who were followers of Christ. And yet, God saved him. God showed him mercy. The Apostle Paul said, I was the chief of sinners. I still consider myself the chief of sinners. However, God has delivered me, and he says, I am what I am. I am a trophy of God's mercy, of God's grace. So that, going back to Jonah again, God was merciful in restoring a man who had refused his command. How many times have I refused his commands? You refused his commands. It just didn't seem like what we wanted to do. It seemed wrong. It seemed the thing that would not be for our best interest or even the interests of others. And we said, no, God. And yet, God was merciful in restoring Jonah, even giving him back this office of a proclaimer of the truth of God. So there's our first example of God's mercy there in the fulfilling of his purpose. His purpose was to use Jonah, not to use Sam or to use Greg or to use Susie or to use Jane. But his plan was to use Jonah to take the gospel to Nineveh. And he was going to see that through. That was his purpose. And that's why there was a second chance for Jonah. It was all in God's purpose. And then the Lord was merciful in offering deliverance to the people of Nineveh. I've spoken before about what savage warriors the Assyrians were. And Nineveh, of course, was the capital of Assyria. They were without any mercy to those that they conquered. They killed men, women, and children. They leveled and destroyed everything that they did not want to keep for themselves. They were fearsome people, and that's the reputation that they wanted. Let the world know that we are savage warriors, and if you fool with us, you'll not survive. And yet God, in His eternal purpose, chose to be merciful to deliver the people of Nineveh, at least in the short term, from the great destruction, the great catastrophe that He had promised to bring upon them. And then we can maybe look a little bit beyond that and see that when the news of the awakening in Nineveh, we haven't quite got there in our study yet, but they were going to believe in God, as it says in verse 5 here. And incidentally, the best translation there is they believed God, period. Not just in God, but they believed God. But when this word got out that the people of Nineveh had undergone a great change, maybe it was only a change of one generation, but the news would have been spread far and wide that this nation that had captured so many other nations had undergone some sort of spiritual awakening, and that it was an awakening that was based on mercy. And so that anyone who had come to understand that they were going to have to face God in judgment, but they needed mercy, they could say, just look at what God did to Nineveh. Look at how He changed those people. There perhaps can be mercy for me, for my family, for my city, even for my nation, if we also will heed the Word of God, however small it may be, however little of it may have come, that if we'll heed it, God will show us mercy. You see how mercy is all over this thing? Jonah rebelled, he went away, but mercy brought him back. And mercy impelled him to go again to Nineveh. And mercy helped those people of Nineveh not to perish. And mercy went out to the different parts of the world so that people said, the God of Israel, Jehovah God, is a God who will forgive sinners, will not destroy them if they come to Him in the way that He prescribes in His Word. Then secondly, the greatness of Nineveh, and it talks up here about a great city. Go to Nineveh, verse 2. Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim to it what I'm going to tell you. And then he describes some more of Nineveh there. It's a great city. The greatness of Nineveh necessitated a great proclamation. If you're going to attack sinners in their worst expressions, then you better have the greatest of messages to get through to them, backed up by the greatest power that God will provide for it. Now let's say right at the beginning here that the greatness of Nineveh was not in how many streets it had, or how long it took to walk across it, or how many suburbs it had, or how many tall buildings, or short buildings, or palaces, or whatever. That was not the greatness of Nineveh. The greatness of Nineveh was not how many victories their savage armies had won. The greatness of Nineveh was in her wickedness. God said, go to Nineveh, that great city, because her wickedness has come up before me, and cry against it. And that was the greatness of Nineveh. What a sad thing for any country, for any people, to say our greatness does not lie in all our achievements. Our greatness lies in how much we sin against God and what wickedness we have. The greatness of Nineveh was not in her goodness, but in her wickedness. But there's this wonderful verse you find in Romans chapter 5, verse 20. It says, but where sin abounded, or where sin was great, if you want to phrase it that way, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And pretty much the word grace and the word mercy are interchangeable. Where there was a great sin, there was also great mercy. And that's what this great proclamation was. It wasn't just a little mamby-pamby message of feel good and try harder, or God's watching you, so you better be careful. It was a message that God, who can destroy you, is indeed a God of mercy. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And you can bring it down to the individual as well. When we as individuals say, I've just sinned too much, my sins are so great, God could never forgive me, I've got a great message for you. I've got a great proclamation to you. As many as receive Him, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, will not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave Jonah a particular word. He didn't say, "And go and tell those people what's on your heart, Jonah." That's the way a lot of preaching is today, I'm afraid. Just what's on your heart today? God said, no, you tell them what's on my heart today. You go and proclaim this great message. And he said, by the way, Jonah, don't do any editing. Don't shave it, and don't even try to add to it. Just go and preach the proclamation that I give you. And that's the gospel, friends. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and whoever believes in Him will not perish. That though your sins be as scarlet, they'll be as white as snow. That if you have this Savior, you will never be disappointed. God gave Jonah a particular word, and He didn't ask Jonah to change it so that it would be popular. He just said, go and proclaim it. This great city with its great sins needs a great message. And he says, Jonah, you may not be the greatest messenger, but you can have the greatest message if you just stick to what I tell you to. Now, what God did have to say was serious. He wasn't just sort of fainting and saying, you know, I might destroy you. God was perfectly serious and sincere. Yet 40 days and boom, it's all over with. And God was perfectly sincere about that. Because the sin was great, and God was not going to put up with it anymore. But here again, something I said last time, that if there were not contained within this great proclamation a message of mercy, then he wouldn't have sent Jonah in the first place. There would be no need to send Jonah. Just out of the blue, one day, as the people were walking down the street, the world would come to an end for them. But no, he sent this messenger. He sent one to proclaim the message of judgment, but also the message of salvation to everyone who believes. The Word of God is quick and powerful and cuts down into the deepest part of a person's soul and touches that place where he really needs to know that God means business, that God will save you if you'll look to Him and trust Him. So it was a serious and sincere promise, but it was also full of serious and sincere mercy. And if this word were not also a message of escape, what would it have meant to these people? Jonah could have gone out and said, I want to tell you about bluebirds and clouds and flowers and all the sweetness and light there is. Jonah said, no, you've sinned greatly against God and he's tired of putting up with it. And you're right on the cusp of being destroyed. But this is, after all, the God of Israel. The God who took a people that didn't deserve anything and made them a great nation. And he can save you if you'll turn to him. You see, sinners need to hear the truth. Sinners don't need to hear any bluebirds and flowers. They need to hear that their eternal souls are about to be destroyed, but God can save them. They need to hear that there's a way of escape if they will repent and turn to Him. Thirdly, great mercy requires a great effort to make it work. Now, I want to preface this by saying that God doesn't need any of us. He didn't need Jonah. He doesn't need me. He doesn't need you. But that's the way He wants to work. And therefore, if He puts forth a great effort Himself, He expects us, whom He has called to be His witnesses, to put up a great effort as well. So He tells Jonah, I've got a big job for you, Jonah. And they're not going to meet you there with flowers, and they're not going to meet you with a comfortable transportation. They're not going to meet you with everything that you might like to see. They're hostile toward me. They're hostile toward righteousness. Now, you need to put forth a great effort, Jonah. God says, I'm going to put forth a great effort as well. When everything in me cries out, destroy them, I'm going to restrain that and extend mercy. And you be a part of that. However much you have to put out, put it out. Later, after Jonah's finished, we find him sitting under a gourd vine. We'll come to that a little later. Gave him some shade. And he was worn out. He was tired. He had put forth all this effort. And God said, Jonah, you did what I wanted you to do. You're not quite committed as I want you to be, but I want you to know that there's so many people in that city that need salvation. And you may not feel it now, and you may not rejoice about it now, but I want you to know that you are my instrument in bringing people exactly what they needed. So we had a lot of ground to cover. As we've said, it was 3 days' walk through the city. It only gotten a third of the way when some of these things began to unfold. But it was a lot of ground to cover on foot, and he was facing hostility at every turn until their hearts began to change, and that took a lot of effort. And then furthermore, God said there's a time frame here. I'm going to give them 40 days. Now, 40 days in the Bible sometimes is just a round number of the amount of time that God allows for this thing or that thing. But he said, a rather brief period of time is all you've got, Jonah. So in putting out this great effort and having to take this long walk and face all this hostility, you don't have a lot of time to do it. So you're going to have to double your efforts to get it done. But go through and preach this word of salvation and preach it with a sense of urgency. And mind, that's what we need also today from our preachers. We need a sense of urgency. We may say, oh, things are a certain way today and they'll always be this way. But God says, don't count on it. There's a time frame. Jonah, you've got a certain amount of time. Don't waste an hour. Don't waste a minute. Go and preach this word. And he says, this includes you, Jonah, because you're not going to fulfill my calling for you unless you fulfill it within the time that I've given. And we can see that as we talked about Jonah being worn out, he certainly must have given himself to this work. But don't forget that God says, I've put a great effort into this. How so? Because God says, to save anybody is my son's work. Of course, it hadn't happened in Jonah's day. But just think of John 3:16. For God so loved the world, for God so loved Nineveh, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'd say that God put a great effort in giving His only begotten Son. And then there's God's righteousness, which constantly and urgently demands to be upheld and vindicated. And it took a great effort on God's part not to vindicate that righteousness immediately. Not only on Nineveh, but on the world in general. But God put a lot of effort into that too. How could such a wicked people, such a great wickedness as Nineveh, be saved? Only when there was a great Savior. With Jonah, it was impossible. With anybody else that God would have sent, it was impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And in God's work, no effort falls short when it comes to what He has in mind. Where He wants to save people, then there's enough of an effort. There's more than enough of an effort, because with God nothing is impossible. If you had said to the believers of that day, is it possible for Nineveh to be saved? They would have said, not a chance, not a hope, not even a wisp of an idea that they could be saved. But God says, I can do it. I can save them. Isn't that a wonderful message that we have today? Again, God says, with me nothing is impossible. Can Uncle Joe, can Brother Phil, can Sister Mary, can they be saved? Yes, God can save them. You don't have to give up on anybody. Isn't that a wonderful thought today? You don't have to give up on anybody, because with God nothing is impossible. I've tried to put into my prayers, and I'm not patting myself on the back or anything, I'm just saying, just on this basis that nothing is impossible with God. Say, God, you can save the Taliban. God, you can save the Russians. God, you can save anybody, because with you nothing is impossible. I hope that can be your attitude too. Then finally, we have the result. And the result that God wants, and I can't stress this enough, the result God wants is not improved morality. Now, I don't say it's a bad thing if people stop killing and murdering and they help each other and you have a pleasant and good society. That's a rarity in the world. Sometimes that kind of thing comes along. God says, I'm not looking for improved morality. In fact, He says, if what I want comes to pass, you don't have to worry about the morality part. You just worry about believing. The result that God seeks is faith in His Word. You take my word to them and see if they believe my word. Well, ironically, it was Jonah's faith. And he was a man of faith, believe it or not. It was pretty pathetic sometimes. But he was a man of faith, and it was his faith that lay behind his rebellious spirit. He wasn't too happy that Nineveh might be saved. Why? Because he believed God. He knew God's mercy. He believed that God, who punishes sinners, can save sinners, even Ninevites. And that galled him at first, and even toward the end of the book, it seems to still be there a little bit. But it was Jonah's faith that actually caused him to be a bit rebellious. But we shouldn't be that way. We should say, if God can save me, He can save anybody. He can save the chief of sinners. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. That's Romans 1, chapter 17. I'm sorry, Romans 1, verse 16. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. You believe that this morning? The power of God. It's the gospel. It's that great word for great needs. Jonah preached the word. And God, not Jonah, but God made the word produce faith. I go right back again. God didn't say, Jonah, you have the best speaking voice of all my prophets, so I'm sending you to Nineveh. Now, it may have been a good voice. It may have been the best voice. I don't know. But that's not why God sent Jonah. God says, I'm sending you with my word. I'm sending you because I want you to go, and you need to learn something. If you haven't learned it from the fish already, you need to learn it now. That my word is powerful. Powerful unto salvation to everyone who believes. So Jonah preached the word and God made that word produce faith. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Jonah preached the word, God made it produce faith. Now, someone will say, well, was it saving faith? And I honestly don't know. I know it saved Nineveh from being destroyed in that time frame that God said. And maybe for a generation, there were people who believed in the God of Jonah. But I'll tell you this, that there is saving faith by which if you believe God's word, especially concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. This faith in Nineveh may not have been saving faith, but it certainly saved them from the promised wrath in their generation, in their time. And when any person believes the word of Christ, and I don't mean the word just that came from Christ, but the word about Christ, when you believe God's way of salvation, then you're going to be saved. If you believe in Christ as your Savior and Lord, you'll find escape, you'll avoid the wrath of God, and you'll be gifted with eternal life, among other things. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful, powerful, great, sufficient message that we have in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Christ. Take that as your comfort today and tell it to other people who need to hear it. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for this lesson in Jonah's ministry. There are others to be had, but we thank you for this one. Pray that we will commit ourselves, Lord, to your word, to getting it out, and to seeing the great things that you will yet do. Help us, Lord, never to give up, but always to know that with you nothing is impossible, and that your mercy in the end is what will be understood, remembered, and lived by. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.